So I want to direct your attention, if you want to join me, into an Old Testament story, the book of Exodus. Those of you that have been with us on this journey know that a little over a year ago, I think it was, we did a series on Egypt to Easter. We did it before Easter, about 6 weeks. And it was as we were early in the journey to a new location that we studied the exodus of God's people as His destination for them was in a different place, and the purpose was really for a place for them to be able to freely worship God as He wanted them to do. And we did that study, and we found the Israelites coming out. And early on in that story, I've chosen today for our scripture reading a portion of that looking back where Moses had been sent by God there to lead them, and they hit a rough spot early on. And Moses was at a point, he's before the Lord. In fact, it was not only a rough spot for Moses, evidently it was a rough place for God. Because God said to Moses, He said, I'm not going to go with you from this point on. He was aggravated at some of the conduct, and He said, I'm not going. And He said, I'll send my angel before you. And Moses went before the Lord, and it's in the 33rd chapter of Exodus where he said in verse 15, he said, if your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. He said, in other words, if you don't go, I ain't going. If you're not there, I don't want to go there. I don't know about you, but I want to be where God is. I stated it earlier, buildings can't contain God, but God does put His anointing upon people, places, and things. We see that all through Scripture. He puts His presence there. He manifests His presence there. And so as Moses pleads with God to go with him, God said, okay, I will go. And just 6 verses later, Moses had a unique experience that's recorded in verse 21 and 22. This is where God revealed Himself to Moses that He would go with him in the journey. Verse 21, He said, and the Lord said, here is a place by Me. Please catch that concept, a place by Me. Not just a place, but a place by Me. And you shall stand on the rock. God had a rock appointed that He wanted Moses to stand on to be by the side of God, an appointed place. And as he stood on the rock, the Bible says, that God said, it will be that My glory will pass by, and I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with My hand while I pass by. Here is a place by Me. May I speak to you for a few moments about this is the place? Would you pray with me? Father, today as I come before You, I recognize that this is a significant moment of celebration in our church, but it also is a sobering time that we realize it's only because of You. It's Your good hand that has allowed us this place. And we today, before we officially and formally dedicate it to You, we say that we want You more than anything to lead us in this place because it is of Your doing. I ask You to speak to us by Your Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, please say it again. This is the place. Do you remember the place? Now, what came to your mind when I said that? What significant event might have popped in your mind? Yeah, I remember that place. It might have been a place where something very significant, maybe where your boyfriend proposed to you. Every girl remembers that place. It might be the place that you came to know Christ. I don't know about you, but how many of you remember the place where you came to know Christ? You remember the place. You remember where you were. There was a man in our first service that has been a part of the church for years. His name is James. And a few months ago, he said to me in our old facility, the former facility was a movie theater, so the auditorium had pillars that were support pillars, poles through the building. And one day, just in talking, he said, I remember when I came to Christ. He said, I was standing right there by that pole, just a pole. But he said, I remember the place. I don't know about you, but I remember the place that I really surrendered my life to Christ. I was a 13-year-old knucklehead getting ready to go into the 9th grade. Pastor Gary, be quiet. And he amened that real loud. I've known him a long time. But I remember the place. I had an encounter with God, and the place was a unique place. It was a cabin my father had on a little private lake. It was just an old rustic cabin. It didn't even have air conditioning. It was in dog days of summer. It was hot. And I don't have time to tell you the story, but it happened in the bathroom of that cabin. You say, my heavens, why would it happen there? You would understand if I could tell you the story, but right now, I was 13 years old, so 25 years later, I still remember the place. Do the math, if you would, please. I remember the place from a long time ago because of the significance in my own personal life. I remember the place. It might be when you married people, the first time ever you laid your eyes on her, you remember the place. How many of you married people remember the place? Man, you better get your hand up fast or you're going to have a cold lunch today. I remember the place. I remember, you say, yeah, I remember, man, my heart did flip-flops. That's why I went to church. My mom and daddy didn't go to church, but she was in the choir. I went to church. I saw her every Sunday. That's why you went to church. Had nothing to do with Jesus. You met Jesus, but because you were attracted. I remember the place. We met in a church. I met this girl right here in a church. I was 11. She was 10. I can still see it like it happened yesterday. So that would have been 27 years ago. I was 11 then, 13 when I got saved. I can still see the place. What the story was, I can't tell it all, but it was the summertime, and my pastor of our home church invited a friend of his to come and conduct a revival meeting in our church. And that was Pam's dad. And he came and conducted this revival meeting during the summer, so he brought his family with him. And so before they came, our pastor had a daughter 5 years older than me, so she's about 16. And she said, man, there's this really cute girl coming. I want you to meet her, Jimmy. She is really cute. You know what I mean? I'm kind of, yeah. I'm 11. I'm throwing frogs on girls. I'm not interested in girls. And I still remember when the first service, they got there, of course, early. Her dad was a speaker. The church was empty. And Pam was sitting about the fifth row. I still see sitting in the middle of the pew. Surely you remember, baby. Don't you remember how wild you were? You remember that? But as I can still remember looking at her, and Janine introduces us, and we looked at each other and we went, yuck. And I walked off. However, 1 year later, through a series of events, her father became the pastor of our church, and they moved there. So now I'm 12, and I don't remember the exact date, but somewhere in that span of time, maybe by the time I was 13, what happened to me happens to most boys, that switch on the inside flipped. And all of a sudden, you don't want to throw frogs on girls. You're looking for the cute girls. And Alexa thought, she's pretty cute. And she asked me to marry her, and the rest is history. And here we are. And even though the first place was yuck, because I fell in love with her, that is etched in my mind. What I'm trying to say this morning, in places are important. No, we did not have Roberta Flack singing when we first met. First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes. How many of you know what I'm talking about, Roberta Flack? We had none of that. It was yuck. Got that now, didn't have it then, but the place was important, and the places are important in your life. And God wants you to know, to Him, places are important. We believe God appointed this place. If you were here maybe a couple of weeks ago, I shared a brief portion of the story of how God led us to this place when He told us to move to a different place. Didn't know all the reasons why, but in the providence of God, we believe as a church He put us in this place, in this community, and we believe now is the time. We are God's people, and this is the place for Him to do what He wants to do through us. How many of you plan on being part of what He wants to do, not what we want to do? So in all of that, yes, the people are important and the timing is important, but the place is important too. Places always have been important to God. The Bible says Jesus had a prayer place. Mark 1 says He would get up in the morning and go to a private, solitary place that He would pray. When Jesus left the earth, He said, we're not going to leave you alone. The Father will send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He's here with us today. And the Bible shows us that that happened in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says when those who believed were gathered together, the Bible says they were all in one accord and in one what? One place that He had appointed. They call it an upper room, a place. When Abraham was going to offer Isaac his son as a sacrifice because God told him to, as a type and foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus to come, who would give His life as a ransom for us, he said, "I go to a mountain that I will show you." God had picked out a specific mountain it was to happen on. That place today is the city of Jerusalem. He came there, He died there, He left from there. And how many of you are glad He's coming back there, just like the Bible says, to the place. Come on, say it with me. The place is important. But it's important that we understand God made places before He made people. We know the place exists for people because Jesus didn't die for places. He died for people. But places were established before people. He created the earth before He put man on it. He created the earth before He took the earth and He created man. This principle is all through the Bible. The book of Genesis, the very starting pages of Scripture, Genesis chapter 2, it puts it this way. In verse 8, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He placed the man He had made. So he established the garden, then he put the man there. In fact, the word planted means to fix, fasten, or to establish. So God established the place first. And then if you go on to verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it." He created the place, he put man in the place, and he told him to tend and to watch over it. Now, I want you to carry one thing out of this today as we approach this sacred moment, and that is there is a process here and a progression that is important in all of our lives. And you can take this in your own personal place. God has places appointed for you and me. I believe God has places appointed that he wants us to be. I believe he appoints places for us, and there is a sequence here I want you to see, that first of all, God planted the place, God put man in the place, then God gave man purpose in the place. He planted the place, he put man in the place, and he gave man purpose in the place. God created the place, Genesis says, he put man in it, and his purpose was to tend it and to watch over it. And you know that same principle applies to every aspect of your life. God can create a place for you, but not just a place, the place. If you're believing for a job, don't just believe for a job, believe for the job in the place where God wants to put you, in that place for his purpose in your life. You might be believing for a house today. How many of you believe God can appoint a place for you where you get out of moving from place to place and you can have a place of your own? How many of you believe God can do that today in your own personal life? I can give you chapter and verse, but I don't have time today. But he wants you to have those kinds of things in your life. But you have to get the concept that he has a progression to it. He creates the place. So some of you right now are believing for some things in your life. I got good news for you today. He's already out there creating the place. It may not be the time, but he's creating the place for you. Somebody ought to shout louder than that. It might be just you, but he's doing that work, if I can believe it. He's creating the place, at his time he's going to plant me in the place, but he's not planting me there just so I can look pretty. He has a purpose in my being there. Notice the purpose of man. It was to tend the garden and to watch over it. That's the purpose of the church, to tend and to watch over that. That's why we are here as a spiritual entity, that we might flourish in the place God puts us. Now you think about the place. I'm not going to retell the story, but I just want you to remember three words. I want you to remember planted, placed, and purpose. Planted, place, and purpose. Can you remember three words this week? Planted, placed, and purpose. God has created the place for me. He's planting me there. He's going to get me to the place he wants me to be, and he has purpose in my life. That's what he has for this church. That's why he put us in this place. I talked about how we came to this place. The city of Pflugerville has been wonderful to work with in light of looking at a building, but I want to say to you that I declare that I believe God planted this church, Victory City Church, in this place. I believe he planted people here in this place for his eternal purpose. Place. Planted. May I encourage you, just to throw this in free of charge, that you will do better when you're planted somewhere than if you just move all the time? Did you know that? You will just do better. You'll get to know your neighbors better. You get to know. If you change jobs every 3 to 6 months, you're never going to ascend in your career. But you know what it takes to stay planted? Sticking out through some tough times and dealing with some knuckleheads. And not just jumping and running every time. Can I meddle a little bit and not be a pastor, be an evangelist like I can preach it and leave town? You'll do better spiritually if you plant somewhere. Do you know there's a lot of wonderful churches in this town? That was terrible. I said there's a lot of wonderful churches in this town. I'm for them. I'm not against them. They're not our enemy. They're not our competitors. We're teammates. Thank God for every one of them. I'm for every church in this city and in this whole metroplex that preaches the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that today, church? We are for all of them. Thank God for them. We want them all to flourish. We pray they all flourish. There's 400,000 people in a 7-mile radius of where I'm standing today. There's a whole lot of work to be done for a whole lot of churches and a whole lot of people. We should pray for them. But listen to me. You will not flourish just going to one this week and this one this next week and this one next week. Now, I realize sometimes God moves people. He's moved me, I understand that. But there'll come a time you'll know and He'll plant you. So this is not an advertisement for this church. But allow the Lord to plant you in a place because He has a purpose for your life and for your being. What is your purpose? Did you know when you get to heaven, you might work a corporate job, you might make 6 figures, you might make 7 figures. But I promise you when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any talking about that there. There won't be. But what will happen is the things that we take of our lives and we do in His name, there will be record of it there. You can take your corporate world and you can still have purpose there and have a good career and be blessed and support your family and still be God's representative in the marketplace. Aren't you thankful for that? There is purpose for that. In this church, we love to help people discover God's design and purpose for them. That's why we have City Steps. And in City Steps, we make available spiritual giftings testing because God made each one of you a particular way. You are gifted certain directions. And this will just simply help you see this is the area in which I will flourish the most because this is God's purpose for me. Example would be like these instruments. Didn't they do a great job leading us in worship today? And did you notice I wasn't any part of it? Did you notice that? That's by design. That's actually by request. You stay there, we'll do this. You don't want me doing this. You don't want me playing this keyboard. You don't want me playing these drums. They can do it. That is not my gifting. My gifting is I can play Kirk Franklin praise on the radio and shout and be happy, but I can't make a Hammond B3 organ hum. You know what I'm saying? But there are people who can, and I appreciate that. Let them do that, and you do your thing. This is how God designed it for us to be, for there to be places, for there to be people in the places, and for the people have purpose in the place. Come on, say it with me. Planted, placed, purpose. Planted, I mean He established it, He placed me there, and He had purpose. Now, I want to wind this up with an illustration from Scripture. Would you agree with me that the three most significant events in history is not the fact the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl? I'm just seeing if he's out there. I didn't know who. I know we got a lot of 49er fans in this church, actually, so I'm really messing with them is what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But the three most significant events in history, are they not the birth of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's it. That's it. And all three of those had a specific place attached. I told you about Abraham and the place because God appointed the place that is where Jesus would die. Some of you have been on Holy Land tours with us, and we go to the place called Golgotha. You look at that hill today, you can still see that it was in the shape of a skull. You can still see the facial features in it. You know why the Bible calls it that, the place of the skull. It looked like a skull. And we know that Jesus was crucified on a road right below that, right outside the city gate of Jerusalem of that day, and in a tomb nearby He was laid, and on the third day He came out. How many of you are glad He came out? Specific place. But the one I want to illustrate is maybe what is, well, I don't want to say more important, but it's as much as important, the birth of Christ. Because if He hadn't been born, He couldn't die. I mean, that's not rocket science, is it? So you think about for a moment this young girl named Mary. You read it in Luke chapter 1 where the angel appears to her, the Lord appears to her, and tells her that she's going to give birth to a baby, and she knows she's never had physical relationship with a man, so it's kind of like, yeah, right, how's that going to happen? But it's interesting that Mary said, be it unto me as you say. She had enough faith to believe what God said. So what Mary had was she had a promise, and then she realized she had a purpose. Her purpose was to be the woman that gave birth to the Son of God. What a purpose. And she had she knew the power that could bring it to pass. She knew the Lord she was talking to, and she had faith to believe the promise. And we all think that is all it took, but that's not the truth. Because for her to arrive at this promise, the Bible shows us a little tidbit that gets overlooked. She had to go to a place the Bible describes as there. Just there. Say the word, there. The Son of God is going to be born there. It's recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse number 6. And so it was, while they were there, that days were completed for her, Mary, to be delivered. There. She had to get there. She could not have this baby in Nazareth. Actually, the word there means in that place. And what is interesting, that place was prophesied and appointed a long time before Mary was ever born. In fact, 700 years before Mary was born, a prophet in the Old Testament named Micah penned these words in chapter 5, verse 2. This is 700 years, a little over 700 before Jesus was born. He says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." The place called there was Bethlehem. And so she had to get there, which tells me that the place was as important as the promise. She believed the promise, but for it to come to pass, there had to be the place called there that she was at. Bethlehem was the place. Now, I want you to ponder for a moment what that meant to get to the place. What it meant for her, first of all, was the place was very uncomfortable to get to. It was 90 miles from Bethlehem to Nazareth where Mary was. Mary was 9 months pregnant, which meant she had to ride on the back of a donkey 90 miles, 9 months pregnant. How many women are signing up for that? You probably thought, yeah, I would because I'd have my baby quicker. Yeah, you probably would. I don't know. And that's what happened. She got there and she delivered. It's very uncomfortable to get to. Ever uncomfortable for you to get to this place? Oh, come on. Sure it is on Sunday. If something's going to happen, it happens on Sunday. It happens on the way to church. Every minute. How many of you ever had an argument with your wife on the way to church? Don't raise your hand. Your baby ever have one of those blowouts? You know what I'm talking about, a blowout. I don't have to describe it, where it goes up their back, out the diaper, and out the back. You know what I'm talking about. It couldn't happen in that place at home. It happens in the parking lot at the place, right? And you're just trying to get into the church. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to get there. The place was also unfamiliar to her. She'd never been to this place before. And you know, when you think about it, I know some of you are new to our church, and we welcome you and glad you're here, but for our church, this is unfamiliar. That's been with us a long time. It's unfamiliar. You have to push past sometimes the unfamiliarity to get to the place that God wants you to be. What I'm saying, sometimes it's not always a primrose journey. And sometimes a place can even be unwelcoming in its reception. We pray that that is never the case. Never the case here, but there was no room for Mary in the end. It was very unwelcoming. We fight to be welcoming. In fact, if you're new, I can just tell you that these are some of the friendliest, nicest people in the world. Not me, I'm not very nice, but they are real nice, very friendly, warm people. But there can be days, everybody has a bad day once in a while. Whisper, he's talking about you right now. Wake up. Everybody has a bad day once in a while. Can you raise your hand? Push beyond that. Say, I'm going to get to the place. Because I'm going to get ready to tell you what we're believing, and we're dedicating this place, and we're declaring that this place is going to be. You'll shout in a minute. That's the place God intends. We intend it to be a place like one of the biblical examples, and I'll wind up with it, and that is Jesus one day was walking down a road, and there was a lady, the Bible tells us, that had an issue of blood. In other words, she had blood flow that could not be stopped. The Bible's descriptive. It says she'd been to all the doctors. She'd been to many doctors, and she'd spent all that she had. She's broke, and she got worse instead of better. In other words, she was desperate, and she's still sick, spent everything she knows. And she hears about Jesus, this man that is healing people, and he's not at the place she's at, and she realizes, I have to get to the place where he is. And he's on the road, and the place when she got there was just like what I described. It was uncomfortable to get to. She had to push her way through the crowd. And I can imagine most of those people were not as warm and friendly as the people here are, because they're wanting to be close to Jesus too, and they're not appreciating some woman elbowing her way through the crowd. And so it's probably a little bit uncomfortable and probably a little bit unwelcoming, in the sense that when she pressed through the crowd, the Bible says She reached out and touched the hem of his robe, and Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, and that was not customary, nor in most cases allowed for that to happen. But she was determined to get to the place. In other words, she says, I can't stand out here on the perimeter of this crowd. I got to get to the place where I know my miracle can happen. And she became determined because I believe God has purpose for my life. I don't believe God's finished with my life yet. I don't believe I'm going to die. I believe I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And there's probably somebody, while I'm speaking by the Spirit right now, you need to get that promise today. The devil whispers in your ear, you will die. You need to say Psalm 118, 17, I will not die. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I will complete my purpose in my journey with the Lord. That's what we want this place to be, where people can touch the hem of his garment, to touch him. And the Bible says she reached out and she touched the hem of his robe. And when she did, because she was doing so in faith, the Bible said the issue of her blood dried. And Jesus, knowing, being fully God yet fully man, virtue's gone out from me. And he said, who touched me? And all the smart alecks in the crowd said, everybody touched you. And he said, that's not what I'm talking about. They weren't smart alecks. It's just common answer. Everybody's touching. What are you talking about? He said, no, I perceive virtue has gone out of me. And the Bible says he turned and looked at her. And he knew who she was. You see what I'm saying? The crowd may not know who you are, but there's somebody named Jesus who knows who you are. The crowd may not know what you're going through, but there's somebody named Jesus that knows what you're going through. And she touched his hem. And when she did, she was whole. And I'm saying to you, this place is dedicated for he, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to do his miracles and to do his work. Come on, church, that's the purpose and that's the reason for the place. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I told the staff I'm preaching no longer than 25 minutes and I lied, but I'm finishing. One more place I want to talk to you about. Any place can be the place. I love the verse, Psalm 91, that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells there. Live your life there. Live in the place. Live in the place where you can meet with God. Wherever that place is, Jesus had his place. Have your place. Have your time every day. Be it in your pickup. Take 5 minutes. Turn Garth Brooks off. Turn Jesus on. Talk to him on the way to work. Have a place. But one other place the Bible talks about is so important. And this, above all, is the reason this church exists. This is the most important. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, he didn't just say that to you and you. He said it to the world. I have a place for you, an eternal place. And you'll choose to come to this place. The analogy is the same. The place is prepared. He wants people in the place, but you got to be determined to get to the place. You say, how do I get to that place? What am I talking about? I'm talking about eternal life. Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father. When the disciples, they were filled with despair when he's leaving the earth. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He's talking about eternity, eternity with him in a place called heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I know there are some people that say, well, he's already got those places prepared and only so many can. No, I'm sorry. If you're God, you can do anything you want. 50 people today decide to give their life to Christ and say, I want to spend eternity with you. He said, I got a place prepared for you, and boom, it's prepared. You say, how can he do that? Well, how can he just say, let there be light, and billions of stars in the sky? He can do anything he wants. He's God. But what he wants more than anything is for you to spend eternity with him. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about joining your faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God so loved the world to give his only begotten Son that whoever, doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your culture, doesn't matter. There's only one race. It's called the human race. He didn't care who you are, what nation you live in, where you're from. He didn't care how rich you are, how poor you are. That means nothing to him. What means everything is to him. He loves you unconditionally. He gave his life for you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. And the only way that is possible is if you accept the offer. His offer is, if you would confess your faults to me and believe upon me, I'll give you the gift of eternal life. Forgive your sins, remove your guilt in the presence of God, where you can someday stand whole in the presence of God. With every head bowed, please, I want to pray with you. And I'm asking, with our heads bowed in the presence of the Lord this morning, ask yourself, am I ready for the place? Do I want to go to the place he's prepared? Do I want to spend eternity in heaven? And I would say probably for most of us, the answer is yes, that's what I want. But if you ask yourself a second question, have I taken care of my side of it? And there may be some of you that say, no, Lord, I haven't. But today I realize I have a step to take, and my step is to believe. And I do believe you died for me, and I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. If you're really sincere in your heart, and you really believe that, and you really mean that, he right now stands, according to Psalm 86:5, the Bible says, ready to forgive. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to take his gift today of receiving the place he's prepared for you in heaven, eternal life, that when you die and leave this earth, you go to heaven and have that relationship with him to enjoy life on the earth. I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, if that is you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you have privacy, but I want you to raise your hand to God and say, God, I'm sincere. I want that place for me. I come to that place right now. I'm coming to the place. This is the place. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. This is the place where I'm coming to you in my heart, in my mind, in my life. Anyone else? Thank you. You raise your hand to him, not to me. You're saying, thank you, ma'am. I just sang today. Yes, ma'am, in the back. Thank you. I'm just saying, God, in this place, I raise my hand, but in my heart, I'm coming to this place. I give my life to you and ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Thank you. God bless you. Would you please, across the room, stand with me reverently and quietly? And as we stand, bow our heads in the presence of God. The Bible tells us that when we have this faith in our heart and we express it, that we should confess our faith in him with our mouth. You've believed in your heart. That is why you raised your hand to him, not to me. But we'd like to pray a prayer with you, and I'm going to lead it, and I want you to pray it with me. In fact, I invite all our church family to pray it, because all of us have prayed it when he came to Christ. If you raise your hand, would you say it with us? And you're saying it to the Lord, not to man, but repeat this prayer and say it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I give thanks today that you love me enough that your son died for my sins. I have sinned, and I repent and say I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. And today I accept Jesus, your son, as my personal savior and the Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Where I am weak, make me strong every day. Help me become stronger in my faith in you as I submit my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen and amen.